fallen into Kaweya's orbit. I told her that Kaweya was a man of both power and cruelty, but not genuinely evil, since he was also a man of trust and loyalty. It was not hard to respect him and to want to earn his respect in return. I suppose there was something very primitive about the relationship between Kaweya and me. He was a man who desired excellence in everything around him, in his surroundings, in the accoutrements he collected, in the way he chose his sexual partners, like Gita. He also desired excellence in his employees. I considered myself a fine soldier, bodyguard, liege, man-at-arms, assassin, whatever label suited, but only in Kaweya could I measure my excellence against any kind of absolute. A bad man, but not a monster, Chantrell said, and that was enough reason for you to work for him. He also paid pretty well, I said. Mercenary bastard? There was something else, too. I was valuable to him because I had experience. He wasn't willing to risk losing that wisdom by placing me in situations of undue danger. So a lot of the work I did for him was purely advisory. I hardly ever had to carry a weapon. We had real bodyguards for that, younger, fitter, stupider versions of myself. And how did the man you saw in Escher Heights come into it? The man's name is Argent Rivich, I said. He used to live on Sky's Edge. The family's name's rather well established there. It's also an old name in the canopy. I'm not surprised. If Rivich already had connections here, that would explain why he managed to infiltrate the canopy so quickly, when I was still getting soaked down in the mulch. You're getting ahead of yourself. What brought Rivich here, and you, for that matter? I told her how Kaweya's weapons had fallen into the wrong hands, and how those wrong hands had used them against Rivich's family, how Rivich had traced the arms back to my employer, and his determination to exact revenge. That's rather honorable of him, don't you think? I have no quarrel with Rivich about that, I said, but if I'd done it, I'd have made sure everyone died. That was his one mistake, the one I can't forgive him for. You can't forgive him for leaving you alive? It wasn't an act of mercy, Chantrell. Quite the opposite. The bastard wanted me to suffer for failing Kaweya. Sorry, but the logic's just a little too tortuous for me. He killed Kaweya's wife, the woman I should have been protecting. Then he left Kaweya, Dietling, and me alive. Dietling was lucky. He looked dead. But Rivich deliberately left Kaweya and me alive. He wanted Kaweya to punish me for letting Gita die. Did he? Did he what? She sounded like she was about to lose patience with me. Did Kaweya do anything to you afterwards? The question seemed simple enough to answer. No, obviously he hadn't, because Kaweya had died afterwards. His injuries had eventually killed him, even though they hadn't appeared particularly life-threatening at the time. So why did I find it difficult to answer Chantrell? Why did my tongue stumble on the obvious and something else come to mind? Something that made me doubt that Kaweya had died. Finally I said, it never came to that, but I had to live with my shame. I guess that was a kind of punishment in its own right. But it didn't have to have happened that way, not from Rivich's perspective. We were passing through a part of the canopy now that resembled a solid map of the alveoli in a lung, endlessly branching globules, bridged by dark filaments of what might have been coagulated blood. How could it have been otherwise? I said. Maybe Rivich spared you because with you it wasn't personal. He knew that you were just an employee and that his argument wasn't with you but with Kaweya. Nice idea. And just possibly the right one. Has it occurred to you that you don't have to kill this man at all, and that you might owe him your life? I was beginning to tire of this particular line of debate. No, it hadn't, for the pure and simple reason that...